Here's how the last stanza begins. Too long a sacrifice can make a stone of the heart. Oh, when may it suffice? That is heaven's part, our part to murmur name upon name as a mother names her child when sleep at last has come on limbs that had run wild. He has a new role. He has a new part. We all have parts. Heaven's part is to decide when all of this will work itself out, but his is to name names, the way a mother names names on limbs that have run wild. And he names those names, which he had not given us at the beginning, only at the end of the poem. He gives us the heroes whom he names out, Major McDonough, Major McBride, Connolly, Peirce, these people who are the heroes, and at the end he repeats his refrain. But the poem ends this way. He asks whether excess of love bewildered them till they died. And he then says, I write it out in a verse. Excess of love bewildered them. These are the key words. Enchanted, excess, bewildered. They were bewildered. They were confused. They were vexed. They were literally driven wild. The child whom he had referred to earlier had run wild on his limbs. These have been literally or figuratively and literally made wild, bewildered, until they die. So at the end, all of these people, McDonough, McBride, Peirce, are named. And at the very end, Yeats says with confidence and enthusiasm that their names will be remembered. Now and in time to be, wherever green is worn, no longer motley, just the Irish green, now and in time to be, wherever green is born, are changed, changed utterly. A terrible beauty is born. The terrible beauty at the end of the poem now refers, in addition to everything else about Irish revolution and sacrifice, now refers to the very poem that Yeats has just written. This is what he has done. He has named the names. He has given them their due and their credit. And he has become, vicariously, a participant, as well as a survivor, in the very heroism that he has commemorated and celebrated here. Let's move forward from the Irish Rebellion and from the other side of the pond to the mid-60s and this country, to a long lyric, a political lyric by Robert Lowell called For the Union Dead. As a first-person lyric poem, it's much different from Yeats's. Yeats's poem was celebratory and contemporary. Lowell's is much more various in terms of time and also of his own relationship to the events and the subjects that he's dealing with. He is both an observer and a participant. The poem deals with the example, the heroism, of Major Robert Gould Shaw, whom you might remember if you saw the movie Glory with Matthew Broderick, who was the leader of the first all-black Civil War regiment. He was white, his troops were black, and he is commemorated by a bas-relief by the sculptor Augustus St. Gaudens, which was installed on Beacon Street in Boston across from the gold-domed Bullfinch, Massachusetts State House, dedicated there 100 years ago in 1897. The poem exists on several temporal, that is, historical levels. This is one of its great glories. It begins with the poet's recollection of a time in his own past when the old Boston Aquarium existed. Here's the first quatrain, and these quatrains are wonderfully loose and easy, as Lowell himself was loosening up his own style. The old South Boston Aquarium stands in a Sahara of snow now. Its broken windows are boarded. The bronze weathervane cod has lost half its scales. The airy tanks are dry. And then it pushes farther backward to previous points, even whole eras. First, to the poet's childhood, when the aquarium still stood. Then, forward to last March, when he was watching the construction of an underground parking garage beneath the Boston Common. He talks about steam shovels, dinosaur steam shovels, which are excavating an underworld garage. And he says, Parking spaces luxuriate like civic sand piles in the heart of Boston. A girdle of orange, Puritan pumpkin-colored girders braces the tingling statehouse, shaking over the excavations.